What's up, fellow travelers? Welcome to Traversing the Stars. Please welcome today our special guest, Dre DeBrute Daniels. Dre, welcome to the show.
What up, JD? It's good to be here.
What's happening, dude? It's good to have you here. I gotta say, man, like to everybody at home, if you missed our disastrous live that we did when we first launched, Dre was one of the first ones there. So one of the first friends of the show. So it's extremely good to have you here, man.
Absolutely. It feels good to have a little one-on-one time with you.
Yeah.
And see what's cracking.
Yeah, dude. So tell everybody at home a little bit about yourself.
So as you have properly and most stupendously introduced, I am Dre DeBrute Daniels. I am a comic writer, producer, and comic director. Also, I run a YouTube channel called Brutal Planet Comics, which we talk all things comics and things in the media. I have written and produced 5 issues of my comic series, Trouble, The Rhythm Within. As you can see, my main character is Zamir Green back there, stunting. It's one of my, it's my brainchild.
Yeah.
He's my brainchild. And it's made with a lot of love. For those that aren't too familiar with it, let me ask you all a question. What would happen if music gave you superpowers? And what if you got a different power based on the genre of music you're listening to? That's exactly what my story dives into. So
that is the coolest premise ever, dude. Like I absolutely love that premise. Like that is like one of the most original things. And like, so clearly, okay. So obviously you love comics, you love music, and you found a way to bring the two together. So like, how did you, before we go in further into that character, tell us how you got like kind of into comics and like what inspired you to get into, you know, creation of comics and all that?
Okay, cool. Well, I've been into comics since I came out the womb, pretty much. Right when I slid out, I got a Batman issue in my hand. You know, that's pretty much how it worked out. Even when I was very, very young, I had older siblings and things and things that like that. And we used to go to our local comic shop. Shout out Alliance Comics. We used to go there and just pick up whether the issue was quarterly, issually, biweekly. And we would just go pick them up Friday night, pick up comics, Blockbuster, Pizza Hut, kick back, play Sega. You know, that's pretty much what the
good
whole
old days,
was.
Man.
Yeah. The good old days. Blockbuster renting. but yeah, so that's pretty much it started there. I've had a lot of influences to actually get me into doing comic work itself.
Sure.
I was heavily influenced by, you know, the regulars, Frank Miller, Alex Cross, you know, like people of that ilk. But there was a comic that I've talked about ad nauseum at this point.
Yeah.
Called Sentinel.
Okay.
And it was released in 2003 by Sean McKeever. Was the writer, and
now this it's not the Sentinels from like X-Men, like it's a different
It is though. It was a really low, it was an under the radar comic.
Yeah,
it was a limited run. It was called Sentinel. It was written by Sean McKeever. The art was done by Udon, which did a whole lot of like American manga stuff, Street Fighter stuff like that. And the story is pretty much, it was a boy and his family. He lives with his father and his younger brother, and they're very poor. And they live on a junkyard. And this was like the 2000s, so you know, he's down on his luck, and girl at school he's in love with, you know, those type of tropes.
Yeah.
Like it was very, very classic. But things start getting really interesting when, because since he's poor, he designs all of his own toys and robots and things. And he creates these things called battle bots, in which him and his brother play. And one day, one of the battle bots goes out of control and just heads into the junkyard. And they're like, oh,
that's new.
Yeah, what the devil just happened? And then, like, at the end of the first issue, you see an absolutely destroyed Sentinel in the junkyard.
Ooh.
And it's repairing itself.
Oh, wow.
And it gets crazy because he wants to go and find the BattleBot and finds the heavily damaged Sentinel.
Yeah.
And so he, as he begins to repair it, he changes certain things in his personality code and basically making the Sentinel his best friend. It's freaking insane.
Okay. A little bit of Terminator 2 vibe going on. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Like, it's crazy insane. And then like you see this good kid, but then he starts using it for his own personal gain. It gets crazy. Like, things get completely out of control. And I love that book. Well, that series. That series was really, really good. And it really inspired me because it was very character-driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's really character-driven because there's not a whole lot of superpowering things happening. Because, you know, we're focusing on normal people.
Right.
And all the characters, they felt real. They felt genuine. It felt like if this would happen in real life to a teenage boy, it felt
like that's how it would go.
Yeah, like it felt like this is how things would go down. Like, we wouldn't use the to save the world. And I'm like, hey, I want to be popular at school. You know what I mean?
Or that one kid at school just keeps giving me crap and I'm just not going to stand for it anymore.
Exactly. And then the decisions that he makes snowball. Okay. Snowball.
Okay.
So that was like a major inspiration to me. That comic really was like my kick in the teeth. I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. And so you've always been able to kind of draw on everything too. So like
I can't draw to save my life. This joint might as be all thumbs. It just be all thumbs right here because I can't draw. I can do everything else, write, direct, produce, edit, all the other things.
But the artistic part is just not happening.
No,
I feel better because I can't draw to save my life. So like I feel good that I'm talking to a comic book guy that can't draw too.
Yep. Oh no. I was extremely lucky to find one of the best at the time, low key comic artists in the game, Federico Corsini. Mm-hmm. He's great. He's one of the best. He's from Argentina. He does tremendous work. Me and him have been working together for years now.
Nice.
So it's like, so now we like mesh like this.
Yeah.
So it's like even when I'm thinking that he's like, oh no, I already know where you're going. I'm like,
just like playing off of each other. That's awesome, dude. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. When you start working with somebody for as long as we've been working together, it's like, he'll do something. I said, hey, didn't you mean to do this? He's like, oh yeah, duh. Yeah, I didn't mean.
Yeah,
it's crazy, because like even though like how I write my scripts are like a movie, I write them like movie scripts and plays because that's kind of like my background. I have a lot of family that's into music and other stage work, so it's like, hey, I wrote it as if it was going to be a play or a film. So I use stage directions and stuff like that. And so he's like, yo, I've never seen it written like this. I said, this is how I get down.
Yeah.
This is how I get down. No need for guesswork. So
that's awesome. And,
but our vibe is like debt. So
that's awesome, dude. There's nothing better than that. Like, I love when you have a partner that you just like totally click with. It's like being in a band. I mean, like you just like, you're just feeding off each other and like letting that energy flow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best. I couldn't have asked for a better artist, and over the years we've become friends. So, you know, better artist, better friend. Like, he's the man. He's dope.
I love it. All right, so Marvel or DC, which one do you prefer?
Okay, so are we talking films? Are we talking the books?
Across the board.
Okay, across the board. My overall. Man, that's a tough one. I'm gonna have to split it. Because I hate all the DC movies minus
the Keaton ones and
the Dark Knight trilogy is great.
Yeah.
There were definitely
some mistakes with the Batman series in the 90s, though.
Oh, mistakes were made, and it's funny because even though it has a bazillion faults and it's absolutely insane, I still enjoy Batman Forever.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoy Batman Forever. And by no means is it a great film.
No, I enjoy Batman and Robin. It's the same thing.
But and that's the thing. Like, I hate Batman and Robin, but I like Batman Forever. Okay. It's an oxymoron in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Because they're both, you know, campy to the nth degree.
Yeah.
But I just felt like Batman Forever, it worked better.
It did.
And like for Batman and Robin, I just felt like it was just really smearing it and then tried to take itself seriously at the wrong time. It just like, if it's going to be goofy, be goofy. If it's going to be serious, be serious.
It was almost like, I think there was like almost like too much of a neon vibe in the city going on with Batman and Robin. Like, and then you got Arnold going around dropping one liners, which I love Arnold, but come on. You're not sending me to the cooler.
They got the, stay cool, bird boy. That is trash. God, that sound is rough. So films, I'm going to give the nod to Marvel.
Definitely.
For the sake of their continuity. And like, even though I haven't enjoyed all of the films.
Sure.
But like their ambition of what they're trying to do, creating universes, interlinking stories.
Yeah.
They're well acted, mostly. Well acted. I give the nod to Marvel when it comes to the films.
Definitely.
Now, when it comes to the comics, that is a much different discussion.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking for solo standalone stories for a particular, let's just say a Superman story or a Batman story, Wonder Woman story.
Yeah.
Like solo, I'm going to give DC. I believe DC has the stronger solo comics when it comes to, like you can look at any Batman comic novel. Yeah. Obviously, you can list 1,000 of them and they're pretty much all great. You can look at Superman, Last Son of Krypton. You can look at Superman Doomsday.
Yeah.
Death of Superman. You know, like you can look at these and be like, yo, they're the upper epsilon of comics that's ever been written. But when it comes to collaborative comics, team comics, like now, granted, I'm a huge fan of the Tower of Babel DC story. One of my favorites of all time.
Yeah.
But as far as overall body of work, I would say Marvel is better when it comes to team comics.
Yeah.
Avengers, X-Men.
Fantastic Four.
Yeah, Fantastic Four. Defenders. Like, their team-ups are immensely superior, even in their ranks. Like, I got a whole bunch of them up here.
Yeah.
But, like, the one that I recently went and picked up that I wanted to read, like, 10 years ago was, Daredevil Shadowland.
Yeah.
Daredevil Shadowland. It's great. Even though it's only like 140, maybe even less than that.
Right.
40 pages. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was really good. And when it comes to DC, outside of Justice League,
they don't really, DC doesn't do a lot of good team-ups. So, like, Marvel is chock full of team-ups. I mean, like, there's even all the ones that, like, you know, I haven't even read all, like, you know, a lot of them. But, like, you know, there's, like, the X-Force. And then there's, like, what else they have? There was a whole bunch.
Yeah, you have X-Force. You have,
not to mention the villain team-ups. Oh, I mean, God. The Sinister Six.
Sinister Six
is, like, one of the best team-ups ever.
Yeah. Like there's so many different runs that Marvel does well with teams.
Yeah.
Some of the New 52 ones. Like, man, I'm not a fan of New 52.
Yeah.
But was that Red Hood and the Outlaws?
Yeah.
I know that the overall, as the series went on, it got lame, it got weak, it got weird. But I liked the idea. I liked the team up. I thought it was cool. I love Arsenal. I don't really know why Starfire was there, but I like the idea that they do really unique things with teams when they're coming to comics. Is Justice League, the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
They do more duos like Hawk and Dove, Doom Patrol. Mm-hmm. Like they're there, but it's just not like if I'm looking. It's like Doom Patrol, and then there's some Avengers type, or like Avengers versus X-Men. It was one of my favorite. Oh, one of my favorite crossovers of all time.
Yeah,
Avengers X-Men or Doom Patrol and something like that. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna pick up Avengers X-Men. Like, it's not even, no brainer.
Yeah,
but it's like that. But if I have to do it, like you mentioned at the offset, the overall, based on the fact of the overall, and I had to split the comic, I'll have to give the nod to Marvel, even though technically they're not my favorite. Their body of work speaks for itself.
So. It's more superior.
Yeah. Yeah. The body of work in general.
Okay. Okay. Cool. So I gotta kind of get into the music part here. So there's a line. I feel like you'll appreciate this line. I'm not sure if you're there's a band called Monster Men. I'm not sure if you're aware of them.
No.
It's okay. There's a lyric in one of their songs. They have a song called Melt. And back before like Marvel was like the big deal that it is, as far as like, you know, in the public consciousness, they had there was a lyric that always kind of stuck with me in that song. I was thinking how the world should have cried on the day Jack Kirby died. Always dug that. Always love that. So like that kind of that's going to take me into the music part here. So like,
sure thing.
Tell me about your creation.
Okay.
Give me the deets, man.
Okay. So I come from a musical family. A lot of my family members are musicians, singers, poets, all this stuff. I tried my hand at rap some years ago.
Yeah. Just one for you.
Less said about that, the better. But music has been interwoven in my family and my culture forever and a day.
Yeah.
And my family's from the South, singing blues.
Music is in the blood. Yeah.
Yeah. It's in the blood. It's like, there's no escaping it. Like,
yeah.
Look both
ways. Why would you want to though?
Yeah, exactly. So, years ago, I used to write music when I was trying to be a rapper.
Yeah.
And when I was coming up with this idea, it was funny because I was actually in the midst of working on one of my earlier projects, which I then trashed, called Pandemonium, which is was a good idea, but it just wasn't there.
Just didn't have the execution.
Yeah, it just wasn't there yet. I might revisit it in a few years, but yeah, you know. And I was sitting there and I was writing and I was listening to there was a song by 50 Cent called Many Men. May have heard of it,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, and like many men wish many, upon many, me. Many men. Blood in my eyes, more than I can't see. And so I was sitting there and while I was tapping to it, I was like, man, I said to myself, I was like, yo, I wrote original lyrics to this junk.
Yeah.
Way back when. I went and grabbed it. And I was like, oh, these things suck. But I was like, but hey, wait a minute. I can use pieces of this.
Yeah.
Like as a whole, it's garbage. Yeah. But separately.
But there's like some, that's why you never throw your work away. Never delete it. Always, always save it somewhere.
Exactly. So I was in the midst of writing the character behind you, Zamir Green. Before I named him, I wanted to give him a musical name because I was just, you know, because I wanted him to be, his profession is a DJ. Profession is a DJ. So I wanted to give him a musical name. So I gave him the name Zamir, which means songbird.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, which means songbird. So, and Green is is like my mother's maiden name.
Okay, cool. Nice little tribute. Okay.
Yeah. So a little tribute to mom. So when I was putting this together, I was like, okay, I'm going to give him a DJ. I'm like, what am I going to have him do?
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then it just kind of hit me. I was like, and I had a buddy. And I tapped him and said, hey, yo, has there ever been anybody to get music powers?
Yeah.
And he looked at me. He was like,
I don't think so.
And he was like, he said, no, there's sound waves. I said, yeah, there's sound waves.
Yeah. No. Because, yeah, there's definitely a couple like that have like sonic wave powers, but not like, anything like actually done through the music. Yeah.
Yeah. Without the music itself. And because I was thinking, because like when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, I'll give them sound wave, shock wave.
Yeah.
And everything. I said, but that's been done a trillion times.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, what if he got powers from the music? And my buddy was like, yo, and then when I was putting it together, I was like, I said, okay, how is it gonna work?
Yeah,
how's it gonna work? So me, I used to study sociology,
okay,
back in the day, and there used to be a study on the effects of music on the human brain.
Oh yeah, okay.
And they did studies in regards to when certain people listen to certain music, they act a certain way. Like if you go to a mosh pit or something and they're playing death metal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It pushes aggression. It pushes the get the shoving.
Yeah.
If you go to a jazz club, you know, like the.
It's a lot more laid back, but a lot more like, okay.
Yeah. You want to chill and just kick it and
have a drink. And
I'm sitting there like, I'm like, okay, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
So I start listing out genres of music and then comparing it to the sociological studies of what music does to the mind.
Cool.
So I'm like, yo, I can base a transformation on how it will react to the brain.
Yeah.
And for certain aspects of us, and I'll also include what people think of it stereotypically.
Ooh, okay, okay.
So I'll give you the rundown because the ones I've produced, they're out there. So
okay.
So the rock transformation gives him adrenaline and enhanced strength.
Okay.
And makes him a bit more aggressive.
Yeah. Little Hulk-like then.
A little Hulk-like.
Okay.
Classical music, I took inspiration from the leader.
Mm-hmm.
From the Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
His head gets a bit bigger. And
okay.
he becomes a snob.
Okay, but he gets smarter then too. Then.
Yes. So okay. His intelligence increases tenfold and he becomes a snob. Also, he has telekinetic abilities.
Oh, cool.
So I wanted to tie in like, hey, when I think of like really, really classical, you know, people with the pinky in there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, good style. Would you please get the towel boy? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, hey, like classical music, you hear the, in the background or whatever. And from like hip hop, because growing up being immensely affected by hip hop in my community, when we think of hip hop back when I was coming up, it's something that's hard. That's a gangster.
Yeah.
I don't take no nonsense. So he gets body armor.
Okay. Okay.
So he gets an armored form and stuff like that. So it kind of played really, really well into like the music aspect.
Yeah.
And then I started writing original lyrics.
Yeah.
For when he starts listening to these songs. It was just so much fun to put together and to put to paper and to see how well it came together. It was really dope.
All right, now let me ask you this. So can he control it, or is it just like if it comes on, it just happens?
So, JD, me and you, we like this.
Yeah.
I like you.
Yeah.
So I am a episodical writer.
Uh-huh.
So off the jump, he can't control the abilities.
Okay.
So every time music is played.
Makes you think of like how often you even hear music too.
Yep. and so what he does, he has to seek training to control how the transformation will work.
Yeah.
Because other than that, every time he walks down the street and hear a song,
something's happening.
Something happened. So like off jump, he can't control the ability.
Yeah.
And it gets him into some trouble.
I bet.
But then he goes and seeks training to control his mind, because the bottom line is it's not the music that gives him the power.
Right.
Music is the key. Music is the key that unlocks the ability.
Yeah.
And which is why I titled the entire series is Treble. That's the main title. And the saga is The Rhythm Within. That's the
okay.
So
a lot of symbolism in that.
I love it. Yeah, a little double entendres there. So So he first could not control it, but then it's a particular issue I wanted to pretty much devote to the training. Come on, focus up, camera. I wanted to devote to his training while simultaneously building up a villain. So it was while doing so, it was like a 1A, 1B story that I was cooking on. And I think it blended really, really nicely.
Nice.
How it all just comes to a head at the end of the issue.
Yeah.
I was really proud of the work that I put in for this series here. Like it's my magnum opus.
I love it.
Citizen Kane, as it were.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude. So what kind of villain are we dealing with here? Like who's his arch enemy?
Okay, so let me break down how the universe works.
Okay.
So you can see how it works. So basically what happens is this. A little background. I'm from Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
In Washington, D.C., we have a water treatment plant that's right outside the city.
Yeah.
So basically what happens is there's some shady shadow corporation that poisons the water source.
Yeah.
With a mutagen.
Yeah.
And so they're like, we're going to see what happens. We're going to test this mutagen on the water.
Yeah.
But this, the mutagen only seems to be affecting people with O negative blood type,
which is the rare one, right? Okay.
Yeah. You slick. Yeah.
Hell yeah, dude.
So it's able, so I'm able to make a small enough rogues gallery.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be over the top.
Right.
So it only affects O negative blood. And so the enemies that, are being affected first is like reports of like so I used a method that Frank Miller uses when using like a newspaper or the news to tell a little bit of exposition like it is exposition without it feeling like exposition,
right?
So people are being affected and they're being hauled off to a lab and never seen again.
So they're being hauled
off to the lab, never being seen again. And then Zamir is like pretty much the last one to come in contact with that mutagen.
Yeah.
And he has O negative blood and he starts to develop his abilities while he's DJing a party. It's crazy. While he's DJing, he's absorbing all the sound waves.
Yeah.
And so, and then when you're a DJ, you're playing different genres.
Yeah.
You know, you're playing rap, hip hop, whatever.
Yeah.
So all these songs he's playing, he's soaking them all in. He's soaking them all in.
Yeah.
Until the point it's at a fever pitch, and then it can't be contained anymore.
Yeah. Ruin the party, I assume.
Yes, at the party. Yes, at the party. And that's what this background scene is from.
Love
this background scene right here is at the party when he absorbs all of these sounds. Like after he's gone through all the genres, his body can't take it and it just explodes.
Yeah.
So with that, these enemies that I featured in this first series, because I'm writing the sequel currently. I'm still writing the sequel. The main villain is the doctor. That is the one that's pulling all the strings.
Yeah.
And so it seems.
Right.
That he's pulling all the strings. But the fights that he has primarily is with, honestly, my favorite character that I wrote in this joint is a character called Sharkbait.
Sharkbait? My wife's gonna love that one.
Character, because I love making men into monsters that don't want to be monsters.
Yeah.
I love that, like a Frankenstein or, you know, like that type of thing. So, like, basically, he was just a guy who was a trucker, and he had O negative blood, and he ended up eating. He caught a fish that had the mutagen.
Yeah,
and so when he ate it, it transformed his body.
Oh, that's gnarly, dude.
Yeah, and it transformed his body, so he's got like a horror / Creature of Black Lagoon type thing going on. And like he's trying to escape the lab, and so when he gets onto the city, so first like. When I'm painting the pictures, like, he's just a heel, you know, I'm painting this picture of like, he's ripping up everything, he's killing guards. But a whole thing is like, a whole point of me showing up here was that I just wanted to help.
Yeah.
I just wanted to help. And you people try to make me into a weapon.
Yeah.
And so through his escape, which I love him so much. Cause you know, so like he escapes to in our home, there's a city in a city in Northwest is a place called DuPont Circle.
Yeah.
Which where multiple major cities, major roads all connect to. And so he's trying to escape. The guards are on him. Now there's reports, the cops, you know, everybody's coming for him now. And he hasn't hurt anybody. He hasn't done anything. He's just begging for help the whole time. And then Zamir, who was training at the time, is like, all right, this is going to be the moment. I got to get him to do something. But then he realized like, oh, snap, he's not a bad guy. He just needs help.
Yeah.
So he puts himself on the line to confront him and be like, hey, look, I see you don't want to hurt nobody, man. I say, I heard you coming from a lab. I'm trying to find that lab.
Yeah.
So that we can undo all this craziness.
Yeah.
And so he's like, okay. So when they finally come to an agreement of what's going on, the cops see an opening and take a shot.
Oh,
they take a shot.
Yeah.
And Sharkbait goes down. And so Zamir turns around, like, you bastards.
Yeah.
What have you done? And all that did, like, he, like, so Sharkbait just stands up and goes into a berserker rage.
Yeah.
And like, so now you know Zamir has to stop him, but you're right. Like, yo, he didn't ask for this.
There's like the humanity involved in it.
Yes. But he starts, I mean, tearing through.
Well, I mean, yeah, you back someone into a corner, especially like that. I mean, yeah, you got like a superpowered monster. Yeah. You can't back him into a corner.
Yeah. And I loved writing his story so much because I had an opportunity to really showcase what my hero can do.
Yeah.
Because off the jump, he gets beat down.
Yeah.
He gets beat down because you're getting overwhelmed and you're still learning. You're still on the job. But throughout that issue, I get to inculcate all the different powers. Like, he uses his intelligence to figure out a weakness for the skin of, I mean, it's tremendous. Like what I was able to put together for that, I think that was issue 4 and 5. It was like those two together.
Yeah.
Honestly, was my favorite of the series.
Yeah.
That was my favorite of the series because, like, it showed us, you know, the humanity level of it all.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we get to showcase what Zamir can do through his training and how he has to learn on the job.
Yeah.
And we get a villain that we don't want to be a villain. We want
to,
you know, just to get help.
Yeah.
I just love it. So, like, he's like,
dude.
Yeah, I love Sharkbait. I love him. I love him. I'm like, tattoo him on my arm.
Hell yeah, dude.
He's great. And so there's another character that was introduced named Leah Shift. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention something. All of their regular names and their superhero names play off each other.
Okay.
So Sharkbait's real name is Jim Baithook.
Love it. got a little bit of a Marvel vibe with that. Yeah, I like it. It's like the owl, like Leland Owlsley. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Otto Octavius.
Exactly. Zamir Green, his alter ego is Treble, which of course is the music notes.
Yeah. Which is a cool name for a hero.
Pretty dope,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. His rival name is Michael Brash.
Mm-hmm.
And his alter ego is Bass.
Love it.
And instead of absorbing sound, he projects it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So his is more like project, like energy projectile Bass.
Like it's more like he can form sound into anything he wants.
Oh, cool.
He can form shields. He can form blasts. He can form armor. Whatever he wants to do with sound, he can manipulate the sound waves in the air.
That's
to create
cool.
Anything.
Yeah.
Like how Zamir, aka Treble, absorbs it, Bass pushes it out.
That makes total sense. I love it.
Yeah. So that's his rival and was also his childhood bully.
Okay.
So it comes together really well, like how the story is, like Mike disappears like everybody else did.
Yeah.
And Mike is also a DJ. And he was supposed to be DJing the party that Zamir did. Yeah, it's like how it all just intersects and comes together. It's definitely I have no shame in it, man. This is the finest work I've ever put together.
Dude, yeah, like, own that, man, because that's fucking awesome. Like, this is like, this is really a really good. Cool, like, honestly, it's like, you know, like, it's really original, too, because, like, you know, these are definitely like this is a whole storyline that I could just really sink my teeth into. Like, I'm really digging it. So, yeah, I definitely can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, most definitely. Oh, I'll definitely send you. I'll send you the 5 that I've produced so far.
Hell yeah, dude.
And you let me know what you think.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah,
I love
it.
I love it.
Send you a little care package.
I love it. I love a care package.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Are there any like off the wall music genres that would have any effect? I was trying to think of a few. And like the one that came to me because it's kind of Christmas time. I was like, all right, what if Gus Polinski shows up with the Kenosha Kickers and just starts rocking polka. What's happening?
That's a good question. When I first wrote, with this entire series, I used basic genres in this series because I didn't want to overthink it.
Sure.
To be honest.
Yeah.
But a lot of folks have been coming to me with that exact same question. It's like, hey, what if it's like African jungle noise in the background? Then there's screaming monkeys, like
Celtic drinking music. What then? Walks into an Irish pub and what happens?
Yeah, or what if it is the throat singing of the Himalayan mountains? I've heard a lot of different things, but which I'm glad, because that's why I wanted to create a character like this, because the possibilities are endless.
Yeah,
there's endless possibilities. The potential for what transformation he'll take on if he listened to certain things, or whatever, it's endless. It's literally endless.
Yeah,
because then you can go to subgenres. Like for me, I encompass them so that there could be simplicity.
Yeah,
but in actuality, if you want to say, okay, he listened to rock, what kind of rock?
Right.
Is this grunge?
Yeah. Because each one's gonna have a different vibe.
Exactly. And that's the whole thing. It's like, if you have a character that makes the imagination go like this, there's nothing greater than that. There's nothing greater than fandom getting together and being like, hey, what about what country?
What else is there? Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the whole, because like me, I'm a simple man. I'm a simple taste.
Yeah.
But who knows what someone else could come up with.
Right.
With what this music did this to him, or whatever the case may be. And like in the next series I'm writing, I'm experimenting with hybrid music, like rock and rap. Or whatever, dance hall.
Yeah.
And something else. And like, I'm going to be experimenting with hybrid, because like, I'm going to get a couple more genres out the way.
Yeah.
And then I'm going hybrid. I've already created like an ultimate form already, like in the next series.
Yeah.
I'll share it with you. It's going to be called the Mega Mix-Up.
Okay. The Mega Mix-Up. I love it.
The Mega Mix-Up, which is pretty much just give me all of it.
Yeah.
Play everything. So I'm like with, then that's why I think. And like a lot of people gravitated to this idea and to this character, because it makes the imagination burn.
Yeah.
And lately, people's imaginations have not been challenged that much.
That is a fact.
Not much at all. A lot of people say, oh, every idea has been done and everything. Yeah, that's all fine and good. But the fact that, namely the big two, I'll throw Image in there too, I guess.
Yeah.
Everything is rinse and repeat.
Yeah.
There's nothing really new or interesting,
right?
There is,
but you got to really look for it.
Yes, like you got to.
Yeah, you got to dig. You got to dig, because it's like, I mean, the stuff that's being spoon fed, absolutely. But like, if you take the time, absolutely.
And that's, I mean, I think that's why a lot of people, like, once they hear about my story and the comment I've been produced, they're like, wait, what? Huh? What? Say that again? Like, yeah. I'm like, that's amazing. Like,
yeah.
I think that's why the indies are here. The indies are here to create things that either the big two or big three don't want to create, or this point just don't have the creative juices to make.
Yeah.
It's reality. And that's why I love the indies so much. And that's why I've always loved being here and being able to share my craft, because I'm like, because who knows, someone else, like I'm getting my nephews and my younger cousins, they're now they can't wait for every issue to drop.
They can't wait.
Like every time I'm getting calls, they're like, oh, did you, is it out yet? I'm like,
is it ready?
Like, like, everybody be cool.
That's gotta feel good though, right?
It's a great feeling because it's hard out here in the mainstream. It's hard out here. It's like I said, creativity is slim.
Yeah.
Or if it's or a lot of them is politically driven or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But like it seems like creativity and fun is taking a back
seat. Yes.
And and one thing I've always loved is fun.
Yeah.
And fun is great. Fun is the best.
So. Yeah. Why would you want to do anything else?
Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
I love exactly. fun. So it's
same.
Really good.
Same. Exactly. Oh, dude, I love it, man. So I can't wait to check it out. So where can everybody find you? Where can everybody find where can we find copies? Where can we find you?
Okay. So you can find me at TheBrute00 on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me there or hit me up on YouTube anytime on Brutal Planet Comics. I'd love to have everybody check out some of the crazy, wacky videos that I do and some of the interviews that I've done with other independent creators. It's a lot of fun. So you can get my issue at SpinWiz.com or the SpinWiz app and just type in Trouble. Or if you're spinning Wiz up, usually it's featured. Nice. You can just go ahead and get copies. Hopefully in December, I will be doing a free digital giveaway for the first issue. So that anybody that wanted to check it out, they may be like, oh, I don't know, skeptical. You'll be able to check it out for free.
Dip your toe in and see if you dig it.
Yeah, if you dig it, if you want to get the paperback, you can. It's all there. So that's where I love to hear from people. I love to hear your feedback. I'd love to hear what you think. I would love to hear other people's ideas on what other musical genres I can throw in there.
I was gonna say, dude, because I could spend the entire night just throwing random metal and rock genres at you, like, because I'm a rocker, so like I'm thinking like, okay, there's speed metal, thrash metal, death metal, doom metal, sludge metal, like punk. And then there's like the different kinds of punk. There's horror punk. There's rockabilly punk. Like there's all kinds of stuff.
You see what I'm saying? I could just literally separate one character and like give him the rock ability and then have him have all of them. You see what I'm saying? Like the possibilities, endless, endless, endless.
I love it. I love it. I can't wait to check it out, dude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can't wait to package that up for you, my brother.
Hell yeah, dude. I can't wait. All right, dude, this has been an absolute pleasure. Dude, you got to come back at some point. You got to come back
anytime, JD. Just holler at me, brother.
Hell
just
yeah, dude. We're going to be starting new more content episodes too, not just interviews. So, dude, we got to have you on for some of the comic book movies. You know what? I got to have you on for Batman Forever.
Oh, y'all, why?
Why? Hey, at least I'm not doing Batman and Robin, right?
Oh, god, no, I'll have to moonwalk on out of there. I gotta move on.
Stay cool.
Yeah. Oh. Mm. So why? 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 Why'd you take that job? Oh, right. Money. Right.
Money.